Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you believe democracy requires a free press, your station is WNYC, 93.9 FM and AM 820, NPR News and the New York Conversation.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. In her new novel, Transcendent Kingdom, Yagasi tells the story of an immigrant Ghanaian family living in Alabama through the eyes of a character named Gifty. As a girl, Gifty is curious and observant. She writes letters to God in her diary, goes to church, and grows up to be a scientist. When we meet her as an adult, she's working towards her PhD in neuroscience by studying how addiction and pleasure-seeking work in the brains of mice. And we soon realize just how personal that work is, even if she doesn't. Early in her life, Gifty's brother, Nana, died of a heroin overdose when she was 11 years old. Their mother spirals downward and becomes suicidal. And even as Gifty turns to science to find answers, she still feels the pull of the church her mother still attends. Transcendent Kingdom has been getting great reviews. The Washington Post says, Yasi's ability to interrogate medical and religious issues in the context of America's fraught racial environment makes her one of the most enlightening novelists today. Yagasi, welcome to All of It.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I would like to ask you first to read the very short chapter of the book, if you would.
Sure. Whenever I think of my mother, I picture a queen-sized bed with her lying in it, a practiced stillness filling the room. For months on end, she colonized that bed like a virus. The first time when I was a child, and then again when I was a graduate student. The first time, I was sent to Ghana to wait her out. While there, I was walking through Kejetia Market with my aunt when she grabbed my arm and pointed. "Look, a crazy person," she said in Twi. "Do you see a crazy person?" I was mortified. My aunt was speaking so loudly, and the man, tall, with dust caked into his dreadlocks, was within earshot. I see," I answered in a low hiss. The man continued past us, mumbling to himself as he waved his hands about in gestures that only he could understand. My aunt nodded, satisfied, and we kept walking past the hordes of people gathered in that agoraphobia-inducing market, until we reached the stall where we would spend the rest of the morning attempting to sell knockoff handbags. In my 3 months there, we sold only 4 bags. Even now, I don't completely understand why my aunt singled the man out to me. Maybe she thought there were no crazy people in America, that I had never seen one before. Or maybe she was thinking about my mother, about the real reason I was stuck in Ghana that summer, sweating in a stall with an aunt I hardly knew while my mother healed at home in Alabama. I was 11, and I could see that my mother wasn't sick, not in the ways that I was used to. I didn't understand what my mother needed healing from. I didn't understand, but I did. And my embarrassment at my aunt's loud gesture had as much to do with my understanding as it did with the man who had passed us by. My aunt was saying, that is what crazy looks like. But instead, what I heard was my mother's name. What I saw was my mother's face, still as lake water, the pastor's hand resting gently on her forehead, his prayer a light hum that made the room buzz. I'm not sure I know what crazy looks like, but even today, when I hear the word, I picture a split screen, the dreadlocked man in Kejetia on one side, my mother lying in bed on the other. I think about how no one at all reacted to that man in the market, not in fear or disgust, nothing, save my aunt who wanted me to look. He was, it seemed to me, at perfect peace, even as he gesticulated wildly, even as he mumbled. But my mother, in her bed, infinitely still, was wild inside.
That was Yagasi reading from her new novel, Transcendent Kingdom. When we meet Gifty, you know, she's just 11 years old, in that trip to Ghana. Her brother has died of a heroin overdose. Her mother becomes severely depressed for the first time. What kind of child was she before these two huge events in her life?
Well, Gifty was an incredibly pious child. She was raised in the church. She grew up Pentecostal, and she believed really fervently in the idea of goodness. She wanted to be a good person, and she wanted to be as close to this figure that she adored, Jesus, as possible. And so she was a child who strove to be smart and good, and slowly she saw her family start to collapse, and she saw some of these pillars that she had held up start to crumble, and she realized that her goodness wouldn't save her.
And it wouldn't save her family. Her brother, who she had this great relationship with, has an injury, becomes addicted to painkillers, and ultimately becomes addicted to them. When you think about that relationship between Gifty and Nana, what did you want us, the reader, to get from it?
Well, it is, I think, the strongest and most loving relationship in the book. Gifty's mother has difficulty, I think, being close to her, being intimate, letting her walls down. And so Gifty gets from Nana, from her brother, some of these things that she needs in terms of comfort and help and support and love. And so when Nana falls victim to the opioid epidemic and becomes addicted to heroin, she starts to lose that person who has remained in her life the strongest and most loving figure. And I think it completely crushes her.
And her mother just sort of folds inward after the death of her son, after years of trying to save him, you know, trying to save him from his addiction through various ways, either sending him to rehab or they go out searching for him sometime. Yet the mom seems to have some shame after her son dies. What's the role of shame in this family story?
Well, I think there's a lot of shame that both characters, both Gifty and her mother, are grappling with. There's so much stigma attached to the things that they are seeing in their family, addiction and depression, stigma in the communities that they rely on, both the West African community, the Ghanaian community, and also the religious community, in talking about what they're going through. And so they find themselves hiding Nana's addiction for many years of it. And when they finally reveal it, or when it becomes revealed, they experience judgment and a lack of support. And I think that creates the shame or adds to the shame. And so in addition to trying to figure out ways to help Nana recover, they're also fighting on this other front of just trying to kind of maintain explain his dignity in the face of all of this judgment.
My guest is Ya Jassy. The name of her new novel is Transcendent Kingdom. So there's this incredibly interesting push and pull throughout this novel, because when we meet Gifty as an adult, she's a researcher. She's a scientist, neuroscience. She's doing research about addiction, but she doesn't tell her colleagues about her brother. She keeps her faith quiet for a long time and sees the look on her colleague's face when she sort of says, well, how do you know there's not a God? And they look at her with amazement. How is she able to compartmentalize her life? And do you think she's successful?
Well, I think the compartmentalization that she practices, she has used as a tool to help her deal with the trauma of her childhood. Mm-hmm. And so she's so accustomed to putting things in their right place because she doesn't want to face these wounds that she experienced when she was little. She tells us throughout the novel that she didn't go into her work studying addiction and depression as a way to think through her brother's addiction. She did it because it was hard and she wanted to prove herself and do the hardest thing. But we, the reader, get to see what a lie that is. Mm-hmm. She can't look at it directly, and yet we know that the compartmentalization, that it has failed her in some ways, that all of her demons have come with her.
You write very beautifully and fluidly about this push and pull between religion and science, faith and science. What did you want to explore about that push and pull?
Well, I think, you know, people often talk about these things as though they are diametrically opposed. And for Gifty, that's not true. She mm-hmm. grew up in the church. She was raised Pentecostal, and that foundation of having this belief in something larger, this belief in some kind of mystery in the universe, I think is in great part what leads her to study the brain, something that she thinks of as also being mysterious and elegant and containing answers to these large questions that she has. And so she talks about the fact that for her, science and religion are attempting to get at the transcendent, and that's mm-hmm. what she really wants out of them, is an opportunity to ask transcendent questions and to make meaning. And she says at some point that science and religion are for her two ways of seeing. And I think that's how she processes the world, even though she leaves her childhood religion behind at a very young age after her brother's passing. She can't quite shake the teachings. Mm-hmm. She can't quite shake that desire to make meaning.
Gifty grows up in Huntsville, Alabama, and I believe that's where you grew up as well. What did you want to capture about that part of the country, and how did it shape this particular story?
Well, I don't think I've read anything that was set in Huntsville, and it's an interesting town. You know, NASA is there. There's mm-hmm. a couple of universities there. For a time, it had the distinction of having the most PhDs per capita of any U.S. city, but it's not a city that I've seen explored very much in fiction, certainly. And so partly, I just kind of wanted to write about this town that I grew up in and that had formed me in numerous ways, and to create fiction around that.
Of all, you know, the book has gotten really glorious reviews. It's a beautifully written book. Is there any one thing that someone's written about it that you thought, yes, they really got to the heart of what I wanted, the story I wanted to tell?
Yeah, I really liked the Ron Charles review in the mm-hmm. Washington Post, and particularly there's a point where he says something like, Gifty can't reconcile her brother's death to a just and equal America, mm-hmm. to a church that a loving God, to a pharmaceutical industry that cares about making people healthier and not sick. And that, I think, was something that I was trying to convey in this book. So I appreciated that review.
Folks, Yagasi will be in conversation with Tracy K. Smith next Tuesday, September 8th at 7:30 p.m., hosted by Greenlight Bookstore. You can go to their website to find out more. Yagasi, author of Transcendent Kingdom, thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations on a beautiful book.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.